We talked about that the Lord didn't want to just forgive our sins, but He really wanted intimate relationship with us. And we talked about that the only way to achieve that is to have salvation by grace, not by our own effort. If we had to produce it through our own goodness, we would never qualify for it. So it's the grace of God that produces that. Once that happens, we become righteous in the sight of God. We've dealt with Old Testament scriptures that looked like that God was demanding perfection and showed that the real purpose of the law wasn't so that we had to keep all of these laws, but rather it was to show us how incapable of ever saving ourselves that we could ever be. And so then we've talked about that. We've talked about repentance, what it means to repent and turn from ourselves. We've talked about putting faith in the Lord, making a commitment to Him. And hopefully by this time everybody's already received that. We've even ministered on water baptism. After all this happens, what I want to share is what takes place in the life of a believer. And let me just start with a scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And then in verse 18 it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." The 17th verse says that if we are in Christ, this is a terminology that's used over 300 times in the New Testament, and it's always referring to a union, a relationship with God. And once that takes place, it says you become a new creature. Some translations will actually say a new creation. One says a new species of being that never existed before. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Now this really leads us to a critical issue that I believe is just imperative, understanding your new identity in Christ. And that is that this did not take place in the physical realm. This isn't talking about your physical body. If a person is fat before they get saved, they'll still be fat after they get saved unless they go on a diet. This isn't saying that your body completely changes, your looks don't change. It also isn't talking about your mental, your emotional part, what most people consider to be the real them. Because if you weren't too smart before you got saved, you still won't be too smart after you get saved. You'll still have a lot of the same memories, a lot of the same thoughts. But there's a third part of us, and according to this scripture, it by process of elimination, this has to be the part of us that gets changed. And that's our spirit man. A scripture that would verify this is over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And Paul is praying a prayer for the Thessalonians here, and he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that passage of Scripture shows that we have a spirit, soul, and body. Now the body part of us is very obvious. That's the part of me that you see. That's my outward person. But all of us recognize that there's another part of us that's beyond that. It's our emotional, mental part, what the Scripture here calls the soul. And all of us are aware that even though a person may not physically touch you, they can touch you by their words, either in a positive or in a negative way. Most people are in tune with the physical body and then the soulish part of them. But according to the Scripture, there's another part of us, and that is the spirit. And the spirit is the part of us that gets changed and becomes brand new at salvation. The spirit is actually the life-giving part of us. It says in James chapter 2, I believe it's verse 19, it says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And that scripture shows us that it's the spirit that actually breathes life into our physical body. It's where our life came from. In Genesis chapter 2, we find that when God created Adam and Eve, that He created them, that Adam's body was complete, but then it says He breathed into him the breath of life. And this word breathe in the Old Testament Hebrew that was used there is the exact same word that we use for breath, or it's translated spirit other places. What actually happened was God created the physical body and the soulish person of Adam was in place, but then He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The spirit is the part of us that gives life. Now, prior to salvation, prior to a person making a total commitment of their life and the Lord coming and living in them, prior to that time, the Bible says the spirit that was within us was dead. This is out of Ephesians chapter 2. Let me look this up. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened." That word quickened means to make alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." This scripture says we were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, we know that we were alive before we got born again, but spiritually speaking is what this is talking about. And death in the Bible doesn't really mean ceasing to exist the way some people today think of it, but it literally means separation. When a person physically dies, what happens is they don't cease to exist. The Bible teaches that a person either goes immediately into the presence of God or they go into hell, into the presence of the devil. But they continue to live. The soul and the spirit continue to live, but there is a separation from this physical body, and the physical body dies and decays. Well, when man died, when it says that in the day you eat of the fruit, you shall die, this is out of Genesis chapter 2, it didn't mean that they died physically, but they died spiritually. They became separated from God. This spirit, the part that God breathed into us that actually gives us our life and motivation, it became separated from God's supernatural life, from holy life, from complete life, or what the Bible calls Zoe life, life in an absolute or an abundant sense. And man began to start degenerating. They were still functioning, but they were functioning independent, separated from God. And that's really what causes all of the problems in our life, all of our emotional stress, all of these things. When a person comes to the Lord, they receive a new spirit. They are born again. This is the terminology that's used in John chapter 3, and this is what Jesus is talking about. In the same way that a man was born physically and he had a spirit, soul, and body, that spirit was separated from God. It was functioning independent of God. When a person gets born again, they receive the Spirit of Christ. Galatians chapter 4 talks about this, that God is setting forth into our hearts His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, crying, "Abba, Father." God literally places His Spirit on the inside of us, and we now have a new quality of life, a new identity, and we are a totally brand new person in our spirit. The rest of the Christian life is learning in our soulish mental realm what is taking place in our spirit and beginning to think that way, change our attitudes, our thoughts, and our actions accordingly. But the truth is, one third of your salvation is over when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. Your spirit becomes completely changed. Your spirit is the exact same spirit that you will have throughout all eternity. It's already got love, joy, and peace, and all of the presence of God in it. There is no lack, there is no inadequacy in your spirit. But you've got to get that out. You've got to begin to perceive it. And that's the reason that studying the Word of God is so vital to the Christian life. Because the Bible says in John 6:63, Jesus was speaking, and He says, "It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." So God's Word is spirit. God's Word tells us spiritual truth and reality. You can't perceive what is taking place on the inside of you in your spirit just through looking in a mirror, because you're looking at your physical person. You can't perceive it by just sitting down and taking an inventory of how you feel, because that's only searching your soulish part. But there is a spirit part of you that, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, was completely changed. Old things passed away. Everything in it is brand new. You now have the same power, the same wisdom, the same faith, the same everything that God does, and it's all located in your spirit. And the rest of the Christian life is a renewing of your mind to that. The Bible says that as you begin to believe it, then it begins to manifest. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that all things that pertain unto life and godliness are given unto us through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, God's already deposited those things inside of every born-again believer. You're a totally brand new person. But until we get knowledge, it won't change. As long as we continue to think, "Well, I've never succeeded, I guess I'll still not succeed. Now my sins are forgiven, maybe I won't go to hell, but I still have always been a failure all my life." If that's the way you think, Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If that's the way you think up here, that's what you'll continue to experience. The victory in the Christian life comes when you're able to start looking into the Word, which is spirit and life, and see who you are, what God has done, and begin to believe it. Change your thinking, change your actions so that you begin to start planning for success instead of failure. And as you do that, this scripture that is used and works negatively against us most of the time about as we think in our hearts, so are we. It'll actually begin to be a positive scripture. If you begin to see yourself in Christ, if you recognize your new identity in Christ, then the love, the joy, the peace, the power that has been deposited on the inside of you will begin to manifest. I pray that this will help you and that God will open up your heart to let you recognize what you have on the inside of you through Christ Jesus.